choice of law. The purpose of the EDRP was to create a single procedure for resolving disputes between parties in different legal jurisdictions. However, the framers did not specify a controlling legal doctrine that would be universally applied. Instead, Rule 15A was promulgated to give the panel full discretion in deciding which law to apply to any particular dispute. This all-important choice of controlling legal authority can be the difference between a respondent's victory and a name transfer. When the parties are from the same country, the laws of that country are applied. Decisions under these conditions are probably the most consistent with the legal environment each party envisioned for their case. In the case of AmericanVintage.com, the panel relied on no more than a general principle of United States law to guide the weighing of evidence in light of a respondent's default. In another case involving two American parties, the decision states only that the panel chose to apply the rules and principles of law set out in decisions of the courts of the United States. This practice has been maintained in other jurisdictions as well. In a case involving a complainant and a respondent from the UK, the panel chose to use principles of law set out in decisions of courts in the United Kingdom to support its finding of trademark infringement. Although the opinion also cites cases from New Zealand and the US, these are used only for their persuasive authority. The application of domestic law to domestic disputes, where both parties are from the same country, is probably what the framers of the UDRP intended in drafting Rule 15A. Consequently, several domestic disputes make reference to the laws of the host country. Independently, there is no problem with this practice. However, a growing number of panel decisions citing previous panel decisions may be causing foreign laws to be applied to otherwise domestic disputes. Panels have shown varying degrees of sensitivity to this issue. Some panels have not addressed the peril of applying domestic decisions to international disputes. For example, in a dispute between American and Korean parties over biofield.com, the panel cited a domestic case for its interpretation of which activities constitute bad faith registration and use. Other panels have paid particular attention to the potential for misapplication of a domestic case. In the case of SGS.net, the panel distinguished this case from the holdings of MusicWeb.com on the grounds that MusicWeb.com was a domestic dispute and SGS.net was an international dispute. The panel resolved this choice of law issue by applying a direct and exclusive application of the policy and its rules. For further discussion on the application of prior opinions, see the section below on precedent. When parties are from diverse jurisdictions, there is no easy way to ascertain the applicable legal framework. In some sense, it is precisely this absence of a unified legal framework that brought about the implementation of the UDRP. Unfortunately, the UDRP gives little guidance to panelists on how to determine which law to apply. The rules require only that a panel shall decide a complaint on the basis of the statements and documents submitted, and, in accordance with the policy, these rules, and any rules and principles of law that it deems applicable. The opinion in tourplan.com provides some insights into the reasoning of one panelist in addressing this issue. The complainant was a New Zealand company with London offices. The respondent had registered the name in Australia, and the panelist was an American. In attempting to determine the appropriate interpretation of confusing similarity, the panelist concluded that the term is drawn from general principles of trademark and unfair trade law, but also noted that no specific legal system's general principles are indicated by the UDRP rules. The opinion then concluded that it would be impossible for any panel to be conversant with the laws of every jurisdiction in the world. This quandary was resolved through the application of a broad and common sense interpretation suitable for the Internet. However, as noted in the opinion, the arbitrator's own background is in U.S. trademark law. Thus, any broad and common sense interpretation applied by this arbitrator cannot help but be influenced by the trademark laws of the United States. Although this freedom to choose and apply law at the panelist's discretion is codified in the rules of the EDRP, one consequence may be that panelists will be influenced by laws with which they feel most comfortable. Precedent. One unique feature of the emerging arbitration process under the UDRP is the development of its own jurisprudence. While most arbitration is done with little, if any, public disclosure, the publication of UDRP opinions on the web has led to a practice of citing back to previous panel decisions. Some decisions have used the previous cases with only the weight of persuasive authority, while others appear to view themselves as being bound by precedent. This practice develops despite the fact that there is no authentication of any of the claims made in the pleadings by either party. In several cases, panels have used opinions from previous cases as persuasive authority to help address a variety of procedural and substantive issues. For example, JPMorgan.org was a dispute involving an American complainant and an American respondent. The respondent's reply was late, and the complainant argued for the inadmissibility of the late response, citing the opinion in TalkCity.com. The panel, reviewing the analysis in TalkCity, noted that the respondent's reply was within the parameters of a late response accepted by TalkCity, and chose to accept the response as well. The complainant also submitted a reply to the response. Although the panel noted four other decisions which had accepted such replies without comment, the panel was unpersuaded by these precedents since the distinguished panelists in these cases did not discuss this issue, and the panel in the present case did not have the benefit of their reasoning. Instead, the panel was persuaded that documents, whether designated replies or rebuttals, were not called for in the rules by the reasoning used in the EasyJet.net case. The panel then cited four other cases to support its conclusion that multiple domain name registrations of popular company names suggest an intent to sell, which implies bad faith. Other cases have used the prior decisions as bearing some binding precedential value for future cases. The Zwackunicum.com case involved two Hungarian parties, a U.S. registrar and a WIPO arbitrator. In outlining the controlling law, the panelists noted that both the applicable Hungarian law and at the same time the legislative history of ICANN and decisions of the WIPO Center Administrative Panel have to be considered in deciding this case. The panelists then cited the WorldWrestlingFederation.com opinion to establish the evidentiary burden as requiring proof of both registration and use in bad faith. To resolve the substantive issue of trademark infringement, the panelists used the identical or confusingly similar standard found in Hungarian law. At this stage, however, it may be too early to make sweeping conclusions as to the role precedent will play in this emerging jurisprudence. Although the trend appears to be that prior decisions will have some persuasive weight, the final determination will still be left to the discretion of each panel. This is the end of BJ's section.